As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred with you again for a Coolest Conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest this time around is Dom Mariani, and he's the creative force behind a number of bands, all based in Perth, Australia, including The Stems, DM3, and The Majestic Kelp. But his latest, Datura 4, scored a recent coolest song in the world called Get Out, and is off their new album, West Coast Highway Cosmic. Let's hear some of that now, and then I'll return with Dom to find out about the track, album, and band on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock, Little Steven's Underground Garage.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and my guest today on our Coolest Conversations is Dom Mariani, the Australian singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer whose projects The Stems, DM3, The Majestic Kelp we feature here in the Underground Garage, and now added to that list, Datura 4. How are you, Dom, in these COVID times?
I'm good, Manfred.
You guys are weathering the storm over there in Perth, okay? What's life like in Perth right now?
Yeah, literally. We've got a storm happening right now. I'm not sure if you can hear it in the background. It's sort of blowing into my window here behind me. But yeah, look, we seem to be riding the virus storm reasonably well here. We're isolated, I guess, in a way. Perth's a fairly isolated place in Australia and the rest of the world, and I guess they got onto it fairly. The cases that came through were mainly from cruise ships and people flying in from overseas, so they got onto it fairly quickly. It seems okay. You know, we didn't go into a total lockdown, but for a couple of weeks, everyone was fairly sort of weird and on edge, and the streets were fairly empty. Mm-hmm. Shops and businesses are pretty much shut. There is a bit of action with supermarkets and stuff like that, so we all go to the supermarkets, but they've loosened the thing a little bit here.
Oh, good. Well, hopefully you guys can get back to a normalcy. I don't think that's going to be the case here in the U.S. for a long, long while.
Yeah.
You know, I'm friends with Ian Tubb from the Chevelles. Do you know him?
I do know Ian, yes, I do.
So via Facebook, he's had a bunch of videos about trash bins and people doing all sorts of things with trash bins, like decorating trash bins and pulling trash bins across long distances. Is that some sort of thing in Australia?
Well, I haven't noticed it, but, you know, knowing Ian, you know, it's probably some quirky thing that he's sort of into. So, yeah, I haven't seen it around here.
Oh, okay. Well, have you guys, over the course of the years, I mean, with the Chevelles, have you played shows with the Chevelles?
Yeah, most recently, one of the last shows I played was just before Christmas. We did a show together. That was DM3 and the Chevelles. We did like a Christmas show, and that went really well. That was great.
Well, let's see. You're talking about Perth just a bit more. I know Dave Faulkner is from there, but he left before the Hoodoo Gurus were formed. But he did play in bands there in Perth. And the Scientists with Kim Salmon formed in Perth, played there for a while before moving to your East Coast. Did any of your bands relocate from Perth to elsewhere?
No, pretty much Perth-based. I've been Perth-based pretty much for most of my life. I did spend a short time in Sydney. That was 1985. When the Stems first released their first single, we went across and we were there for about 4 or 5 months, and then we moved back to Perth. So that's really the extent of my sort of career outside of Perth.
Well, what is it about Perth that kept you there?
Well, mainly family, I guess, for myself. I guess, it's a pretty nice place as far as living. It's got a nice climate. We live on the coast here in Fremantle, so I was born in Fremantle, pretty much lived here all my life. I just guess, I find this place my home, and, having a family's pretty much sorted that side of things out.
Right.
We didn't really want to move anywhere else, There were opportunities, for me to go to Melbourne and things like that to carry on with the songwriting thing, but I thought, I'll stick it out here in Perth and hopefully I can do it from here.
So I mentioned you being in the Stems, and you've brought up DM3, also the Majestic Kelp. Other projects or bands include the Sumloves and the Domniks, Stone Age Hearts. How did you have time, or how do you have time for another band?
Well, I don't sleep very well. I just continually writing. I guess it's just one of those things. I've always been active with the songwriting and playing in bands. I've sort of kept myself fairly busy. It's something I've always done, and I like to keep moving, with music. Obviously, the band I'm with now is different to the band I was in before this.
Yeah.
It's just I want to keep sort of moving musically. Obviously, I'm a big fan of music, and that keeps me sort of going, I guess.
So with the Daytura 4 at the outset, you wanted to form a blues rock band and put the project together, or how did you guys form?
Well, it came together fairly casually, really. It was myself and the original guitar player, Greg Hitchcock. We talked about sort of jamming and putting together something like this, just for a fun side project.
Mm-hmm.
And as it progressed, we started playing a few shows, and I was starting to write some tunes. And, we had enough tunes under our belt sort of playing the local circuit here for a couple of years that we thought, let's record an album.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it pretty much kicked off. And then I guess we had this album under our belt, and we thought, let's see who wants to release it. We thought of maybe a local label putting it out. But then we approached Alive Records to see if they might be interested, because I thought there was some like-minded bands on there, and they liked the record, and that's how it kicked off, really. And from there we just got momentum. I started writing more tunes, we started playing more gigs, getting a bit more of a profile around town, and it's music I really like as well. I grew up listening to a lot of that kind of music. It's just in the system. I can play that stuff, and I always love it when I play it and listen to it. So it's just a natural, I guess, progression.
Well, West Coast Highway Cosmic, that's your fourth album, Daytura 4's fourth album. When did you guys record that, and where did you do it?
Yeah, well, that was recorded last year. Some of the tracks we'd already recorded along with the tracks from the previous album, which was Blessed is the Boogie. So we had, I think, six beds sort of left over from that particular sessions. And then we were going on a European tour in October. So we thought we'd finish this album off before we left. And I wrote some more tunes. And it really didn't take that much time to record this album, actually. I spent a lot of time on Blessed is the Boogie. But West Coast, we kind of got in there pretty quickly, because we thought, we'll try and do it before we get to Europe. And then we've got another album in the bag, and when we get back, we'll take a break and release this fourth album and sort of carry on from there. So, we didn't really sit back and sort of analyze it too much when we finished the record, and seems to have gone over quite well.
Well, you've been recording albums since the 80s, at least. Was there anything unique about going back into the studio this time around compared to other times?
Oh, we've pretty much got a routine with these days. We've got a couple of guys that we work with, and that seems to work really well for us. There's a fellow here, and we've been working with him for a while. He's Kenny Watt, and he has a studio called Kilowatt, and we usually lay the beds with him, and the mixing is done in another studio, which is south of Perth here, about 200 kilometres south, and his studio, this guy, James Newhouse, Reel to Reel, and we've been working with him. He's mixed the four albums, and it seems to work well.
So West Coast Highway Cosmic, the album's title track, now that is, the West Coast Highway is a real highway around Perth?
It is. It well, it sort of hugs the western beaches here. I guess it's a little bit north of Fremantle. But once you get on the West Coast Highway, it sort of takes you right up to places like Sorrento and Yanchep and places like that. It's the main sort of highway that is the coastal highway here for the local beaches, sort of west of Perth, the city. And, yeah, it's used by everyone that goes to the beach. You know, Perth or Fremantle, West Australia, is very famous for its beaches. So it's fairly iconic.
So have you been here to the – have you ever been to the U.S., to California, and been on the Pacific Coast Highway? I'm wondering if these are similar types of stretches of road.
I have, but not – I haven't done a lot of it. I was there a few years back to mix a Majestic Kelp album, and I was in San Diego, and then we took one of the freeways or highways up to L.A. to transfer some songs. So that's sort of the extent of the traveling I've done there. But I have been to LA with just for very short periods.
So the album cut Wolfman Woogie reminded me of your DM3 single Monsters. Here in the States growing up, we had these Aurora classic monster kits. There was Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, of course, The Wolfman. Did you have any of those model kits when you were a kid?
Not as a kid, but I did collect them as an older, you know, as an adult, really. I started getting into collecting that stuff probably 20 years ago. If I'd see anything like that, I used to buy it. So I had like a mantelpiece where I'd have all these characters on there. And I put them away somewhere now, sort of gathering dust. But yeah, I was right into all that kind of thing.
So did you put any of the models together, or you were displaying the packages?
I was just displaying them, yeah.
So in that song, you name check Lon Chaney Jr. Is he the quintessential Wolfman?
I think so. Yeah. Growing up, you know, and seeing some of those old horror movies. Yeah. Lon Chaney Jr. was the one that played the Wolfman most of the time. You know, plus other things. I think The Mummy and things like that. But yeah, I was a big fan of all those old horror movies. Hammer Horror was great. I used to watch a lot of those.
Oh, right. Well, you got it. What's a track on the album? Is it Mother Medusa? There's kind of horror seems to creep into a lot of your songwriting.
Yeah, well, it's always been something I've really liked, you know, that genre of old horror movies. And, you know, as a kid, you know, we'd watch those old horror movies on Friday nights. You said the creature feature here on TV. And, it would either be the creature from the Black Lagoon or, you know, they'd run the old Hammer horror movies, you know, the sort of Count Yorga vampire and the Mummy movies and things like that. And the, what was it, the Medusa, that was the Gorgon, I think it was called. I remember seeing that one as well. So those things really stuck with me.
I know you've got several kids. Have you ever made it are they aware of this kind of stuff? Do you ever have a chance to sit down with them and go, hey, you know, we're going to watch, here's The Wolfman, or here's The Curse of the Mummy. Here's like a real proper horror movie.
I try my best to sort of introduce them to that kind of thing. You know, they're catching on to it, you know.
Yeah. Well, your song Get Out off of the new album, West Coast Highway Cosmic, is this week's coolest song in the world. I had to say, man, just a really, really terrific, great driving rocker. The eighth notes on the piano, always way cool. So who wrote the song, or how did it come together?
Yeah, I wrote that, and that was one of the last ones that came on the album. Like I was saying previously, there was six beds that we had sort of left over from the previous album, and we needed some more songs. So that was one of them that came, as did Wolfman Woogie. And, like we have a keyboard player in the band now. Right. He replaced replaced the guitar player that left a couple of albums ago. And he's a terrific musician, and he plays great Hammond organ and clavinets and all that kind of thing. He's also a really great piano player. So we utilized him on that song. We really wanted to get Bob involved because he'd sort of come in as a session player for the previous album. Uh-huh. And he put some things on that album. We thought was really great. We'd love to have someone like that in the band. So we asked him if he'd be interested in joining us. And he was into it. So we were able to kind of get him involved in West Coast Highway Cosmic.
Oh, so it's great having him on there. And when we go out, we'll talk about the song Give, and I really love his organ riff on that, but I don't want to spoil that yet. So I mentioned your DM3 single Monsters. Are there any upcoming DM3 releases on the way, or any ones from any of your other projects, like The Stems, for instance, or Majestic Kelp?
Well, DM3 is on ice, I guess, at the moment. While I'm sort of doing the Datura 4 thing, I think Datura 4 is really taking up most of my time. And look, Majestic Kelp is always there as a side project. When I've got enough material for that, I think I'll go in and do another record. But when that will be, I'm not sure. But yeah, really, Datura 4 at the moment. And The Stems have been active. We toured Europe last year. That was late November and December. And I'd done a tour with Datura 4 in October and then went back again with The Stems, and that was really great. So we were there when it was all good. we got out just in time, I guess. But, yeah, that's still going on. But who knows what's going to happen now, what the future holds for something like The Stems. Datura 4 is more the creative outlet that I have at the moment. And we aim to do another album. So that'll keep going. And I've got a solo record that I've been wanting to do for a while. I've got a bunch of songs sort of stowed away for that.
So when we spoke before, I didn't ask you about your job as an architect, but that is your day job, right?
Yeah. I have my own little sort of practice here. I'm a one-man show. But, it's a bit quiet at the moment. Everything seems to have sort of closed down. Projects that I've been working on, they've either stopped or they're putting them on hold for now. And I've got a couple of things that I'm still working on that they're sort of carrying through. But, I have to see how that all goes as well.
Well, I can call you the architect of rock and roll then.
Sure.
Well, that's what I'm going to do from here on out. So that's been the day job. And between that, it's allowed you to have time, to do things locally in the area. Pretty great that you've been able to balance all these things. You mentioned Datura 4 and being into sort of the blues rock things when you were young. When did you actually start playing music, and what got you into doing rock and roll stuff?
Well, I started fairly young. It's, my dad was really keen for me to learn an instrument, and guitar was the one that I gravitated to. And I started sort of lessons, I guess, when I was about 9, but I really didn't take sort of notice or get serious about it until I was about 13, 14. Up until then, I'd sort of just go to lessons and was more interested in sort of playing football, playing with my friends. But then something happened, like obviously the bands that I was listening to on the radio, like the Beatles, and the Hollies and the sort of 60s groups and 70s groups that they were playing on the radio, I really was drawn to music and rock and roll music that had a big effect on me. And I guess once I started to put those chords together and sing some of those songs, I was hooked. I just went from there, really. I just loved music, and as I got older, different bands would come along, and mates at school would sort of introduce me to things. And I started out pretty much playing the Creedence Clearwater Revival catalog.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, that band really resonated with me. Hearing those guys on the radio, just the songs and the John Fogerty's voice are just very powerful. And the songs were so catchy. They were rocking songs. Yeah, just had a very simple sound, and they sort of carried the message fairly quickly and simply and effectively, I guess, sort of playing Creedence songs in my high school band, The Bee Gees was the other one. And the early Bee Gees stuff, like the 60s and early 70s Bee Gees, I was really big on those guys, as the Beatles and the Stones and all those great bands. But that's where I started. But then as I got a little bit older, bands like Led Zeppelin and, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Cream started to creep in, sort of early 70s Rolling Stones and things like that. My first kind of serious band when I was about 17, 18, was playing a lot of sort of heavy rock blues kind of material. So, you know, a bit of Hendrix and some Cream, Status Quo, who were big here in Australia at the time. And the 50s rock and roll, which was really big in my household. And one of the guitar teachers that I had sort of introduced me to sort of Elvis and people like that, Little Richard. We used to play souped-up versions of some of that Chuck Berry stuff, you'd say, you know.
Oh, well, very cool. Did I hear you right to say you were around 13 or 14 when you first started to form bands?
Well, I just got serious about playing music. And my first band, yet I was 14, I think, when we got together with a couple of other schoolmates. We were an instrumental band when we first kicked off. We called ourselves The Impact.
Cool. The reason I was wondering about that specifically is I know your son was playing in the Flares, who we play here in the Underground Garage. Is that John?
Yes, John.
Yeah. So how old was he at the time when they formed? About the same age?
He was younger. I think they kicked off, he would have been maybe 8 or 9.
Wow.
When they were playing, he and his cousin Dion were kicking around playing. And, they were having a lot of fun.
Is he still active in music at all?
Yeah, he still plays. Yeah, he's working. He's got a day job at the moment. But, he's still keen on music. He's a really keen guitar player. He's got a bunch of guitars these days.
Have you ever thought, I mean, you know, it's not uncommon to have fathers and sons playing together in bands. Has that ever occurred to you guys, or has it ever happened?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, he was in the Majestic Celt for a short period of time. But now he's playing with some friends. He's got like a sort of covers band that would be playing once a week just at the local pub here. We jam occasionally. He's really into recording as well, so helps me with my demos.
Oh, man, very cool. Well, you know, let's see. I want time to talk about one other track that we're going to go out with. The other song off West Coast Highway Cosmic I want us to take a listen to is Give. And as I mentioned, I really love the keyboard, the organ playing on that. And you said that was Bob Patient playing that?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did that track come together? What's the genesis of it?
Yeah, well, that was also one of the later tracks. And I just had this idea for this song that was a bit more of a, had a pop hook to it. And,
yeah.
I sort of wrote it and I thought, well, this could be work for Datura 4. It's not the usual kind of song that we're doing, but if we get the right sort of sounds on it, it could be really cool on the album and just offer another flavor. So I had Bob play the melody on the organ, doubled up on guitar, but the organ is kind of the more dominant instrument. And it works really, really well. And we, you know, got into solo on it as well. I had a really clear vision on that one when I put that one down. So I wanted the sort of acoustic guitar to sort of override the electric, so you get that sort of combination, sort of electric acoustic sort of drive.
Yeah.
And then with the organ, it just sort of set it off. That turned out pretty good, I think.
I think it did as well. Dom, thank you so much for being my guest today on Our Coolest Conversations.
My pleasure, Manfred.
Well, let's hear that other track off West Coast Cosmic now. Here's Give from Datura 4 in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Your lust, the more I give, the more you want.
That was some of the song Give from Datura 4 here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The track is off their latest album, West Coast Highway Cosmic. This is the Matty Manfred, and thanks again to Dom Mariani for chatting with me today on Our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. 2020 marks the 40-year anniversary of the release of the Iron City House Rockers album, Have a Good Time, But Get Out Alive. And the album has just been reissued with a trove of bonus cuts. Joining me next week to talk about the album and its reissue is the band's frontman and primary songwriter, Joe Grushecki. That's your next week's Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Told her to decide, baby, diamond ring.